This program was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Find out more at cbf.org.au.
But what is Moorish man? Not man, Moorish man. We're Moorish Marmon.
Yep.
We're Moorish men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Good morning, Moorish Mag, here on 92.1 RTR FM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Yeah, solo today. Nick is on assignment, or more importantly, gone to funerals today, where I'll be going after the show, and sadly another funeral tomorrow. So Moorish Mag is talking to Ernie Dingo today, and we might find an interview with Ellie Lovegrove somewhere on the system here. She's done a track called I'm Gonna Fly with Archie Roach. I think it's a new one, so we may not have it on the system just yet. And I'm talking poetry. Wow, somebody left a poetry book, First Nation Poetry's, on the share table out there. First Nation Poetry and Power Today, edited by Alison Whittaker. So I'm going to read some of these poems to you. One by Alf Taylor and another by Stephen Oliver. They're both amazing. Alf Taylor's a very short one, but Stephen Oliver, you might recall him from Black Comedy, amazing character too. But I've heard him and his poetry, and I'm sure you're going to like this. So sit back, relax, lock it into 92.1. If you have any issues or would like to talk about some of the things we are experiencing in our community, particularly stolen wages, Shine Lawyers have had a win for us, stolen wages in Western Australia. So I'll talk a bit about that today. 0405 921 921 is our text line if you'd like to share some information with us, particularly about stolen wages. If you don't know, we'll talk some more about that. So welcome, sit back, log it into 92.1. We'll go to song and come back, and we'll get Ernie Dingo on the line. Ernie is a good old mate of mine, and he's going to give us an update of where things are at in First Nation world, particularly in theatre, film, stage, etc. So it'd be, he's one of our people that really is a joy to discuss and talk with. So hang in there and come back to you soon to Moorish Mag. Moon Gear, song called Guru. Hey, I'll read this bit of poem out for you. The late Alf Taylor. Now, you would have heard of Alf before. He wrote four books. A victim of the dreadful system around New Norcia Mission, and was taken as a child and started reading and writing to, I guess, free up his time. And the latest book was called God, the Devil and Me. And he's also written a book of poetry. This one is called Moorish Yoga, which is good-looking woman in Noongar. You are a cruel, deadly Moorish Yoga, and a mardung for you. But I'm just a Winyan Noongar man. I'm going to try and get off this Girba and Ganja and be a cruel, deadly Moorish Noongar man. You are indeed a truly deadly, solid Moorish Yoga, and I'm jerping something wicked for you. But I'm just a Winyan Noongar man. I'm going to get off this Girba and Ganja and show you what a Moorish man I can be and give it all the love I can to you, but Kundan, Chew, shame. Oh, Alf Taylor, he knows how to spin a few words together. And as I say, his last book was God, the Devil and Me, which talks a great deal about his life at New Norcia Mission. And we've spoken about New Norcia Mission over the years. And New Norcia Mission, as described in the Royal Commission into Historical Sex Crimes Against Children, well, it was one of the worst places for pedophilia in this country. So he had a dreadful time there. So he's saved himself by learning to read and write. He was told that he was an ugly little man by the nuns. And he got off that system. He got out of there. He got into all sorts of problems around alcohol and drugs, as this poem talks about. So he's saying to this lovely girl that you are a cruel, deadly mudichyoga. And then he talks about how he's going to get off his addictions. He talks about gheba, which is alcohol, and ganja. Well, I think a lot of you know what that is. That's the old herbs, isn't it? Marijuana. And he says that she's a cruel, deadly mudichyoga. He says he's a cruel, deadly Mudich Noongar man too. Well, Mudich is the name of our program, Mudich Mag, and Mudich is a good thing. So he's calling himself a good man for this Mudich yoga. And he says he's going to get off the, you know, all this stuff and be a bit of ashamed himself. He finishes off with, but he's Kundan. He's Kundan, he's a bit of ashamed of himself and going to get off this awful stuff, which he did do in the end. Sadly, he passed too early. And that was one of the sad realities of Noongar world and country. Yes, sadly, we've got 4 funerals in the next couple of days, and I know all these people. I'll only get to 2. Can't get to Albany, but we're up to Condinan tomorrow. So a big shout-out to the families that are going through sorry business in the next few days. It's the Kickett family, the Collard family, tomorrow the Corbett family, and the Woods family. So there's sadness happening all around us. So big shout out to these people on Noongar country, Noongar Budja. Let's go to a song. I want to get to Ernie Dingo a little later, and we've got an interview with Ellie Lovegrove coming up too. Stay tuned.
Emma.
The great, wonderful, late Archie Roach. And in there, Emma Donovan as well, the great song Love, Sweet Love. Earlier, we organised an interview with Ellie Lovegrove through Jada, and who supports the program on Mudich Mag. We'll go to that interview now. That's Ellie Lovegrove.
Hi, Ellie. I just want to ask, who's your mob and where you're from?
So my mob is the Murrindiddy mob from the Coorong region. And I was born, I'm in Adelaide and living here currently, yeah.
Amazing. Now, can you tell me a bit about your most recent release with the recent passing of Archie Roach? How did you find recording that?
So our song I'm Gonna Fly was written and recorded almost 8 years ago now. And it was really special to be invited by the Archie Roach Foundation to release the song celebration of Uncle Archie and Aunty Ruby's songbook, Songs of the Kitchen Table. So it had been sitting with me for some time. As you know, it was like a gift after working with Uncle. Well, I'd written a verse and a chorus for it, and it was kind of like I wasn't sure where to go with it next. And I had, I guess, made kind of an informal proposal to Uncle Archie and just said, "Here, I've written this song. Like, what are your thoughts? You know, like, just kind of trying to seek advice about what his thoughts were, really, if he thought that I was on the right path." And then it wasn't long after that that I got a phone call from Jill to say Uncle Archie's actually written a verse and sang the chorus as well on the song. And when I heard it, it was exactly what I was missing. So to have him feel connected enough to collaborate with me was something really special, something completely unexpected. But yeah, I was very humbled by that gesture, and it was, yeah, like a gift for me. I hadn't intended to release it. That's why it'd been sitting there for so long. And I'd share it with people here and there, especially family, you know, when we were going through things or just gathered together. And then when the song was released, it was like a really special gift, something that I could also give back in honour of Uncle Archie and Aunty Ruby and the connection that I was able to build with him when we worked together. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a listen to the song over the last couple of days, and honestly, I got really emotional listening to it. I think you've got some beautiful vocals on you, and then listening to Archie sing for the first time in a long time was, I got a bit emotional about it. How did you find releasing it now after his passing, if you don't mind me asking?
As I said, you know, it's a great honour and an absolute privilege to release a song that was so special to me, you know, as kind of a legacy to Uncle Archie and, you know, the time that he gave me. So, yeah, I get really emotional thinking about it. You know, I'd always get emotional listening to it back over the years, and you know, the fact that that particular song was chosen to release such a significant book, a story of Uncle Archie Nani Ruby's life and music, it touches my heart deeply.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. Got me tearing up just thinking about it. It's really, really special to know that that song's now out there in the world.
Mm. I think the world definitely needs it. We need more beautiful, soulful music like that. Now, my next question, what was the process of writing the song and coming up with the title, I'm Gonna Fly? What's the meaning behind it?
Well, I think, you know, I've always reflected on the time that I got to spend around Uncle, you know, watching this gracious man perform his songs as a young child on TV alongside Aunty Ruby, and then to grow as a young adult and have the opportunity to, you know, support Uncle Archie, whether that be in a core choir for one of his amazing concerts, or, you know, then to then be one of his backing vocalists while we tour the Eastern States. Uncle Archie's storytelling and graciousness when he would share such inspiring and painful stories is really what kind of helped me reflect. You know, I'm based in Adelaide, so I spent a lot of time travelling back and forth. And when I came home, I was pregnant with my son. And I had some time to, you know, when you're a new mum growing this small being inside of you, you obviously have a lot of thoughts going through your mind about what you want for, you know, your child, what you want for yourself, how you want to live life, how you learn from lessons and life experiences. And I think that's where a lot of my thought was when I wrote the song. And I think you know, as everybody does, we put expectations on ourselves, or we have expectations from the outside world. And me writing I'm Gonna Fly was like me deciding to live life how I wanted to live despite all of the outside noise. I'm Gonna Fly is like breaking free and really kind of opening your wings to just feel free and live life so it aligns with your most authentic self. And between even now and then, you know, I always believe that I'm still growing, and I've really grown from that space as well. So to have the song now released in the time that it has been, and at the moment that it has been, was really kind of like just another one of those sliding door moments in life that is like, you know what, it had been sitting there for some time, and now it's getting the opportunity to, you know, spread its wings and go out into the world. And it's really just kind of fit with everything that's going on in my life as well. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. We're going to take a little bit of a song break, and then we're going to come back to the chat, but just give us a moment.
Yeah, no worries.
Kaya, this is a community announcement for all our First Nation listeners and those that know First Nation peoples. Mr. Mervyn Street has brought a case in the federal court against the West Australian government on behalf of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who worked but were paid little or no wages between 1936 and 1972. You are part of this class action if you are one of these people or represent a parent or spouse who qualifies and has since passed away. The West Australian government has agreed to a settlement of the case in which it will pay up to $180,400,000, depending on how many people register. The court will need to approve the settlement before any money is paid out. If you want to register your claim for compensation, you need to complete and send a registration form by 30th of June 2024. Find out more or get a copy of the form by calling Shine Lawyers on 1-800-976-150. That is 1-800-976-150, or visiting shine.com.au/stolen wages WA. That is shine.com.au/stolen wages WA. This is a community service announcement.
Hello, my name's Jada Corona and you're listening to RTR-FM. I'm chatting with Ellie Love Grove. Hey Ellie, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good. We're talking about her new released song, I'm Gonna Fly, with Archie Roach. What inspired you to become a musician?
You know what? I don't think I ever aspired to, you know, do music professionally or be famous or anything like that. For me, music started as a kid. It was something that my family loved doing. It was what we did when we spent time together. You know, every family catch-up we had, my dad would always have his guitar out, and my uncles and all my aunties and mum would be singing. And it was just that love of connectedness that singing and storytelling gave me, and that's what made me really passionate about music. And I think when people have those kinds of passions, or and you know, the storytelling and the singers of the family, I think that when it's just a natural thing to you, then you really flourish in that space. And I've just been really lucky and grateful that I've had opportunities to be able to share songs and, you know, share stories with people throughout my music kind of career. You know, I did it for the love of it, and then when people, I guess, started offering to pay money, I was really taken back by it, because I did it, you know, just for fun to begin with. It was, you know, I used to sing at the community hall back in my old hometown as well, singing for the old folks, singing at different community events, and it was just because, you know, people like to hear music. But then when I had the opportunity to make a working career out of it, things just kept progressing, really. But yeah, it all started with family, and you know, coming from a long song line of song men and women, so it's just in the blood, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's really beautiful. Now, I know this song has only just been released, but do you have anything else out coming up in the works?
I've got other songs that I have written and other songs that I've collaborated on. And I think that, yeah, in good time, more music will come. I always believe that you have to trust when the time is right. And sometimes things, you know, like I'm Gonna Fly, they shared with the world just when the time was ready. I hadn't anticipated for it to be released, but it was. And I think it's just about, yeah, trusting in you, trusting your spirit, and knowing that when the time is right, the opportunity will come. So, yeah, there's songs there. I'm not sure when I'll release it, but I definitely intend to get out in community still and sing songs and share stories with everybody.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee you that everyone is really excited to hear what else you've got. I'm Gonna Fly is so beautiful. If you guys haven't heard it yet, don't worry, we're gonna play it. But it is so beautiful and emotional. Really does something to me. Thank you so much for chatting with me today, Ellie. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and we can't wait to see what else you've got for us.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your call.
Welcome back, Norwich Mag, Jada of our show, Mortich Mag, talking to Ellie Lovegrove, a young artist, Nunga girl from South Australia. Hello, Ernie. Welcome to Mortich Mag.
Hello, brother. How you doing? That young girl has got an unreal attitude about her, hasn't she?
Yeah. Look, I've picked up a book of attitude today, Fire Front, First Nations Poetry and Power Today. And it's just a wonderful poetry, including something from Stephen Oliver, who I enjoy listening to. You know, the guy from, what's it, Fabulous? Fabrigine.
Man, mate, that bloke. Don't listen to anything that fella tells you. He's bloody mad.
True, he is mad. Ernie, thanks for coming on the show. It's always good to have you talking on our show, Murich Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. And, you've been a busy man over the years. I think you've slowed down a bit, though, Ernie, eh?
Trying.
Look, Ernie, you've been on the Ernie Dingo. You've been on the show before. Tell our listeners who you're mobbing, where you're from.
My name is Ernie Dingo. My mob is Midwest Mob. I'm Yamaji, and I belong to the Wajari Mob.
Too good. Yes, and I'm going to have a laugh because I'm thinking of Stephen Oliver, and I'm going to read one of his poems shortly. But we're going to concentrate on you, Ernie Dingo. What have you been up to lately, and what's in the future for you? I guess it's not theatre anymore. We've got some songs coming up from Brand New Day that you've been involved in. And I don't think we've played anything from Brand New Day that you've sung, so that's coming up soon. What's on?
That's the last day.
Sorry, that is a blast from the past.
Yes. Yeah.
So good to have you back in Perth. You're resting up, and so what's on the agenda for you? I think we're all sort of nursing heads around the referendum, but who wants to talk about that?
Don't go there.
No, we won't go there. Well, what's happening with you?
I'm still a little bit peeved about the referendum.
Of course.
If you want to put it bluntly. That got me, that one.
Nah. Look, I don't particularly want to talk about it myself.
You know, the thing that makes it funny is the fact that you thrive, you bust yourself, you know, with all the stuff you do.
Yeah.
And you make sure that there's something there for the little fellas to take over, you know.
Mm.
And you want to do the right thing to make them proud of you.
Yeah.
To say that, you know, well, at least that's going in the right direction. But on top of that, you got to remember also those old fellas that have didn't lay down. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And you think of what they had gone through just to put food on the table.
Yep.
And we go to a referendum that's to enable their voices of that past, the stuff that they fought for, the stuff that they, you know, lived through, the name calling, the shaming, the deprivation of liberty, the isolation, that, you know, they talk about stolen generation and they make it sound pretty.
Yep.
But they were kidnapped.
That's right.
And poisoning the flower and shooting and massacres and, you know, all that stuff. Oh, get over it, you mob.
Yep.
We're all Australians. Well, no. Australians, you know, if you identify as an Australian, then you come over on a boat or a plane.
Because
we were people here before it was Australia. And we're still here because, one, them white fellas failed in killing us all.
That's it.
But what they did to them was, you know, just part and parcel of their day. It was the norm. You know, I'm thinking about, like, your dads or grandfather that tried to play footy because they were good at it. But now they had to even have their own league. Otherwise, you were and we're still copping racism in footy. So, like, you know, nobody's growing up and stuff. And it just angers you sometimes when you look back at all these negatives and you turn around and you look at the, you know, what happened 100 years ago is still there.
No, true.
It's still there. It's after the war and before the next war, you know?
Mm.
And what their men, some of them signed up and went overseas. All them trackers that went to North Africa that didn't come back because what's the point of taking them back? They're not going to get anything. So they left them in North Africa. Men working on merchant seamen had gone to war and gone to work in that establishment. No point in going home.
Mm.
Nothing there. Better over here where they, you know, could do something. And it might sound like sour grapes in a lot of ways, but I tell you what, those grapes got to be really sour.
So true. So true.
So bad.
Mm.
Anyway, what I was hoping was somewhere down the line, we will have a better. I was saying about 200 years ago, or 100 years ago, looking back 100 years, how much law and culture was in this country outside the metropolitan area? How much did those men, initiated men, spoke of law and language? And we look at where we are today, we lost about 80% of that.
No, so true.
100 years ago.
So true.
So if we lost 80% of what was taught to us 100 years ago, can you imagine in 100 years' time, those little fellas can only have 3 or 4% of what them old people knew. So there's just some... Yeah, I'm just all over the shop at the moment.
Yeah. Yep, and I'm sorry to sort of raise the trauma triggers, but I guess that's what we're used to in the First Nation world today is trauma triggers and things that traumatise us go on and on and on. The unnecessary funerals we go to, the unnecessary illnesses. Yep, but that's something that comes with our turf. So put that behind us. Moving forward, what's happening with the amazing Ernie Dingo that's appeared on our TV sets all over the shop, and what's a new project for you?
You
anything happening?
Sound like a bloody good thing. I tell you what, I might stay with you a little bit longer.
Look, you're my guest today, and I'm happy for you to stay as long as you wish. I'm sure our listeners know who you are and appreciate your thoughts today. Yep, well, you are deadly. And for those who listen to Murich Mag, deadly is a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing. You're not going to be bitten by a snake, but we're just deadly because we're cool. We're good people. Hey, Ernie. So we're Murich. And so welcome again to Murich Mag. I'm talking to Ernie Dingo, well known around the traps for his work on film and television. So keen to find out what's the next project for you, Ernie. What's happening in your world?
At the moment, there's... Somebody said to me, "Oi, you want to make some money?" I said, "Oh, God, you know, I've been rich, I've been poor. I like rich better. And because when you're poor, when you're rich, you know you got rallies. When you're poor, you know you got no one.
You're an orphan, yep."
Yeah, sort of like, I'm an orphan again. So what's happened is, now you probably could help me out here.
Okay.
I've been told... we've got a job for you. Can you do me a... I said, okay, I'll have a crack at it. You know me, I'll have a crack at it. And then they says, go and do your own YouTube channel.
Go and do your own YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Oh.
Go and do your own YouTube... What? Are you guys crazy? No. You are someone who can make it work. And I'm going, I've been working all my bloody life.
Yeah.
I'm due for a break. But I kind of like the idea of this YouTube channel thing. So I might have a crack at it.
Happy to help you out with that. That sounds like a decent project. I know Wayne Bond has been talking about it. Wayne Bond and I started Mudditch Mag some years back. And as you might recall, we had another program down the road with Noongar Radio, Under Your Fellas. So he's keen to talk. He's hot to trot on that one. Maybe we can do a collaboration.
I've known Bindi Bindi forever. I think I've known him as long as I've known you.
That's it. That's it.
And you know how old you are.
Now cut that out.
No.
No elder abuse. Thank you. No elder abuse.
No. We can get up. You know, we can tell people that these days, eh?
We can. Yeah. Listen, I'd like to play one of your songs from Brand New Day. We've got two on the system. Which one do you think you'd like to hear? And then we'll have another yarn after the song. Which one is your favourite?
The main one that everyone sings all the time, really. It's basically the only one that they like. Long Way Away From My Country.
A Long Way Away From My Country. We're going to play that.
I'm going to record the full version.
Are you?
I'm going to come in there one day with a guitar.
Good.
And I'll sing the full version.
Wow.
Listen to the news. Now, you know, that's because in the film, they've got, which basically the recordings of it is.
All right.
It's only one verse, then half a verse, and then a quarter of a verse, and then the chorus.
Well, you're making an offer. I reckon you come in one day, bring your guitar, and we'll have a sing song here.
Yeah, I'll sing you the whole four verses and then the double tag on the end of it.
Okay, let's go to this song and then we'll come back and have another yarn. I've got Ernie Dinger on Mudditch Mag and we're going to go to the song that he wants. Listen to the news, eh? Here we go, Ernie. Ernest Ashley Dingo.
Don't you start kissing up to me, mate.
Yeah, Indigenous actor, television presenter and comedian originating from the Yamatji people of the Murchison region of Western Australia and a designated national living treasure. Wow, Ernie, exactly. Thanks for being back on the show. It's really a pleasure to talk to you, my brother. And, we've got to do it in person and you've got to bring your guitar in and we'll... listen to the news, we'll get a longer version, but we're going to play A Long Way From My Country a little shortly and you can announce it. So welcome back, Ernie.
You just played Listen to the News, you big goose.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But that's Long Way From My Country is...
That you don't hear.
Long Way From My Country is the next song, eh?
What planet do you want?
Oh, it's the same one, is it?
You had your coffee this morning.
I think I need another one.
I'm telling you.
Oh, look out. Well, don't blame me. I'm just going to blame the station here. They sometimes go a little crazy. Cartwire, we call them.
Oh, who you call them Cartwire? your assistant. You can't say you have assistant if you're going Cartwire. They work with
artists. That's all right.
Yep. And you run amok and let them play the wrong song. And then you blame them.
Yeah, true. Okay, what's new on the agenda with Ernest Ashley Dingo?
What's new is Noongar's making up lies about playing the right and blaming the wrong people.
Never mind. Well, you better come in next time and have a yarn to this mob and put them right.
Well, I was going to come in this morning. But I had a young lad come over to clean the carpet. I had a good yarn with him too. He's from Argentina.
All right.
Yeah. Nice lad. And what was funny was the fact that he was trying to speak. He's been here for 4 months and he's learning English while he's here.
Right.
And that was the fun thing about it because, he's been been in Australia for 4 months, learning English at school, at night school or whatever, wherever he's going.
Right.
And he wanted me to tell me about what he's going to do to the carpet and about, because the boys, we have a rule in the house, no food in the bedroom.
Right.
And it's a staple one for a very special reason. But Jimmy Dingo, you know that bloke, Jimmy Dingo?
Right, yes.
Yeah, he decided that he will take his McDonald's strawberry milkshake up to the bedroom.
No.
Well, and I'm thinking, the bloke don't drink strawberry milkshake for a start, so I can't understand what the big issue is. And then he said, Dad, and I went up there, and this thing was half empty, but it would be, it's all over the floor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to get the carpet cleaner in to try and fix it. And he was telling me, he wanted to tell me what was wrong, so he had to write it on Translate, Google Translate.
Right.
And I'm going, that's how I stir my Māori friends up. They think I can speak Māori. I get these lovely letters back, and I take it to Translate and get back. No, yeah, nothing much happened here, just stirring up a couple of international people doing my stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Brand New Day was a big thing in Australia. I mean, one of the most successful musicals, and the last time it was released, Jessica Malboy, who's gone on to great things as well, and Geoffrey Rush appeared in that. But your career spans back to quite a long time ago, 1990s?
78.
78?
78, I started.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. See, like longer than you thought.
Yes. And it was Tadawali?
78. I did theatre and education with the, what's now the Swan Theatre, Black Swan.
Black Swan, yes.
Back in the old days when we did the stage, Jack Davis stuff.
Right, yes.
Which, that is so beautiful, that works. I mean, Jack Davis was an amazing writer.
Yes, he was.
Amazing poet. Born, down the road at Yarloop.
Yeah.
Amazing writer. And kids today don't know any of his work. They don't know anything that Jack Davis had done, because Jack Davis started off with Black Swan and started off the Aboriginal actors in Western Australia.
Mm.
Lynn Narkle was there as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And after that, like young Johnny Moore came. I mean, Lynn and I have been around forever with our work, well, back then, 78. And Kelso was around at the time. You've probably heard of that bloody mad Jeff Kelso.
Yes, I have, yes.
Mad as a cut. He's another one. He was Stephen Oliver, that bloke.
Yeah.
But still those old friends are still there around the place. So back in 78, my beautiful mate, he directed us, Andrew Ross.
Right, yes.
And if it wasn't for Brand New Day, there you go, this one's for you. When we did Brand New Day in 1990 at the Octagon Theatre, lots of big... it was a beautiful opening, and there was a lot of beautiful people had come that night. And this amazing lady by the name of Janet Ames at Court was
there as well. Yes, yes.
And she saw the production, and they got together with a couple of people and says, we have to do something about Aboriginal theatre in Western Australia. And that's when they formed Black Swan. They formed Black Swan to take the reins of something with more works like Brand New Day.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I remember in the Dreamers and the Clark and all that through the early stages, there was a lot of stuff going on as if to say, nah, these blankies won't be able to do anything. They're not Flash. And here we go. We thought we were real deadly too. It was just getting seen on stage. All those years ago, it was just this amazing experience with all these different actors and productions, especially those days by Jack Davis in the early late 70s, early 80s. And such an amazing man, to be able to be on stage with him as well. Like in the Dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Well, if you just...
Wow.
If you just tuned in, we're talking to Ernie Dingo, a celebrity in our world, a great mate of mine, and really a pleasure to be listening to him today. And I'm just looking at your bio here, that you've done an amazing range of drama and theatre, including The Fringe Dwellers way back in 87. And, well, you did some...
The thing about The Fringe Dwellers?
Yeah.
The Fringe Dwellers was a movie that was shot by Bruce Beresford,
yes,
the director, in a town called Mergen, which they changed to Kurgan, but using the Aboriginal settlement there.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing about Fringe Dwellers was it was written in my hometown of Mully. The lady that wrote it was the wife of the native welfare officer.
Get out.
And she wrote it about the Mullies. So the Cumaway family in the movie, as you see, as in the book, is really the Cumigan family.
Yes, yes.
Mully.
Yes.
And the Cumigan family is like the Garlits down this way.
That's it, yeah, big mob.
Yeah. Collards, you know. There you go. Always, you shake a bloody tree and five or six collards fall out down this way. But, yeah, Cumigan's like that. So the character I play is based on Felix.
Yeah.
The character Felix in the book was based on my uncle.
Mm.
And when I was doing the Rodeo scene, Uncle Phil Ryan, you reckon, I taught my nephew how to ride. Yeah, look at him go. And I go,
Yes, we're going to move on now, Ernie. Look, your 16 years with the great outdoors was obviously a great experience for you, finishing in 2009, and then we talk about you giving a big commentary or commendation for Paul Hogan back in 2022, a celebrity tribute. You know, that was, you've done a range of marvellous things, so it's great to have you on the show, and I'm glad our listeners are tuned in. And if they've got any comments, 0405 921 921. Ernie, we must bring this segment to a close. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Love to have you back in.
I thought, you're not the pretty end there. You can't tell them you want the extra time.
I'd like to have extra time, but there's news going to happen shortly. Ernest, brother. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for taking the time. It's a much needed boost to myself. A bit down a little, but it's good to have you on the show, Ernie. Thank you so much.
I've got to stop looking at three people walking down the street thinking the two of them both at night.
Yep. No. That's going to hurt you. Leave it alone. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, get out.
Thank you.
Go on.
Ernest Dingo. I didn't think I'd get him on the show today. What a marvellous talent that he's been for First Nation people in this country. A celebrity in his own way. So many years that he was involved in the great outdoors. And if you missed that, you must be living under a mushroom, because it was a great show. So it was a pleasure to have him on the show. This is Moorich Mag, and I was going to do a poem of Stephen Oliver. May even have time to do that. No, okay, let's go to a song.